Exodus 15:26. Everybody get serious for a moment, we'll be good. Maybe you ought to read this for me. Yeah. Come on, read it. Underlined, for I am the Lord who what? Who heals you. Celebrate that for a moment. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. And Father, thank you. Holy Spirit, thank you. And Jesus, above all that we can ask or think, the one who presides over this table and provides it for us, to you we give thanks, glory, and honor for your great sacrifices. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. God's ever-present desires are reflected in this covenant I just read to you from, or you read to me from, with the children of Israel. And he makes this covenant with his people. He said, if you, I love God's ability to just make a contract just so simple in black and white, if you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God, you do what is right in his sight, give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes. Look at what I'm going to do for you. I am the Lord who heals you. Thank the Lord. Praise God for covenant. And his desire is to make sure that you walk in health. David acknowledged that covenant when he wrote in Psalm 103, let all that I am praise the Lord. Anybody want to do that? Let all that I am praise the Lord. With my whole heart, I will praise his holy name. Notice the choice. Let all that I am praise the Lord. May I never forget the good things he does for me. He forgives all my sins and heals all my diseases. He redeems me from death and crowns me with love and tender mercies. He fills my life with good things. Anybody celebrating that? My youth is renewed like the eagles. Anybody want to rejoice with that one? Jesus ministered to the sick. He performed miracles in healing all who came to him. And this is a phenomenal series of passages I want to read to you. One of his disciples, Matthew, testified, because not only were there healings, but there were miracles. And some of these took way beyond a miracle of healing that just restores health, that absolutely restored limbs and eyes. And I mean, it's just amazing. Those are miracles. Creatively, God, the Creator, recreated for people those things that were missing. It says, Matthew says, and Jesus went about all Galilee. That's a big stretch of property if you've ever been up in that part of the world, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of what? The kingdom. And healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease among the people. You name it, he took care of it. God's will for you to walk in divine health and a right relationship with him is emphasized throughout his word. Walk with me, he said. Follow after my precepts. My desire for you is to bring you health. And there's so much to know about God's divine love for us. We can't plumb its depths. We can't reach to the heights or span the scope of its widths. It's beyond our capacity to embrace the greatness of the love that God has had for us. I've even seen people touched by the healing hand of God who were not born again, who were not yet in relationship with the Lord. They knew about him, but they weren't serving him. And I wondered and said, Lord, sometimes I've watched people in the church struggle to get well, and I've seen people who've walked in for the first time, not even serving the Lord, and all of a sudden, pow, they get blessed, they get healed, they get restored, and you scratch your head Well, who did Jesus heal 2,000 plus years ago? Many times Jesus healed those with little understanding of who he was, or who, for that matter, having any kind of personal relationship with his Father, because his mercy brings both salvation and healing to all who simply believe. And when they struggle with faith, sometimes he healed just out of his great mercy. So Lamentations 3 says, through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Micah put it like this, who is a God like you, pardoning iniquity and passing over the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He does not retain his anger forever, because he delights in mercy. He will again have compassion on us and will subdue our iniquities. You will cast all our sins into the depths of the sea. Thank the Lord, people. Let me read it to you in this version. Once again, you will have compassion on us. You will trample our sins under your feet and throw them into the depths of the ocean. Thank the Lord. Thank God. I'm glad that's where he parked mine. Amen? Through the years of ministry, I've learned some reasons why God heals. First, Jesus is full of compassion. A leper came to Jesus, it says imploring. And that word in the Greek means begging. A leper came to him begging, imploring him, kneeling down to him. Now notice, this man who has no ability to function in normal society because of the disease he carries, and the implications of it go beyond the physicality of the disease. The implications have to do with that. They condemned him as a sinner. Only a person who's sinned against God would develop a disease like this. But he comes to Jesus and breaks the protocols. He kneels down to him. Listen, we are to worship the Lord. We are to remember to reverence him. Amen. Hallowed be your name. Saying to him, if you are willing, you can make me clean. What was Jesus' response? Then Jesus, what? Moved with compassion, stretched out his hand and touched him. The hand of God touched the untouchable. Thank God his hand has reached us when we were untouchable, and touched him and said, I am willing. Be cleansed. And instantaneously, that man was absolutely whole and cured. Jesus knows everything about us, and he cares, because we are his treasures, we who are of faith. He even knows the number of hairs on our heads. Can anybody say thank God? Are not two sparrows, Jesus said, sold for a copper coin, and not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered, and that means in sequence. He knows what number. He's given every hair a number, and when one of them falls out, he knows exactly which one it was that went down the sink. Do not fear, therefore. You are of more value than many sparrows. Amen? Yes. So he said, if it gets my attention when I watch a sparrow fall from the sky, you certainly get my attention, because you are of more value than many sparrows. Jesus desires to show mercy and healing toward us. And you are so precious to him that he died on the cross for your sin and my sin, and our infirmities were included. Number two, divine healing belongs to God's children. That's part of who we are in inheritance. When Jesus was preaching in the city of Tyre, a Syrophoenician woman fell at his feet and asked him to cast out an unclean spirit from her daughter. Her daughter was possessed and driven by this devilish spirit that possessed her. Jesus said to the lady, let the children be filled first, for it is not good, the children meaning his people, those that are called the children of God, for it is not good to take the children's bread. What is the children's bread? Our healing. That's our bread. When you eat the bread tonight, you are eating the healing symbolically of what Jesus has purchased for us. It's not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs. And she answered and said to him, yes, Lord, Yet even the little dogs under the table eat from the children's crumbs. Whatever you got, I want it. Amen. And the Lord saw the woman's faith, and her daughter was delivered because he spoke in response to her faith. And if you're a child of the King, healing should come to you first. Even before unbelievers receive their miracle, should come to you first. But I have seen those who don't know the Lord reach out in simple faith. They go for it. They grab it. They may not get to the loaf, but they'll get the crumb off the table. Listen, they are hungry for the crumbs. And repeatedly, Jesus pours out his compassion and healing on those who seek him with that kind of faith. Just like that woman. She just came with faith. She didn't come with anything, no credentials, no ability to say, well, I belong to, or I'm a part of, or I've been many years. None of that. Jesus, I'm just here with faith. I know who you are, and I believe you. And often healing is the entry point that helps people receive Jesus as their Savior, because they watch the phenomenal love of God being manifested, and that touches them in the heart, and they become born again. Number three, healing miracles bring glory to the Father. They bring glory to the Father. On the side of the mountain near the Sea of Galilee, it says this, then great multitudes came to him. Now, Josephus says some of these crowds were up to 20,000 people. Great multitudes came to him, and he healed them. Now, that's astonishing when you read that statement. So the multitudes marveled when they saw the mute speaking, the maimed made whole, the lame walking, the blind seeing. Can you put yourself in the middle of this crowd of thousands of people, and you're looking all around, there's people who can't speak who start talking. They've never heard a word in their lives. The maimed, these are people who have limbs that are gone or not present. They're made whole. They're growing digits. They're growing parts of their body, parts of their legs. Feet are restored. The lame, the people who can't walk, they're paralyzed. They're carried there. They get up and they start walking around. The blind who couldn't see a thing start seeing for the first. Can you imagine the noise of the crowd and the excitement and the absolute glory given to the Lord? And what did they do? And they glorified the God of Israel. My goodness. On another occasion, there was a similar response when Jesus healed a paralyzed man. And when the multitude saw it, when they were witnesses to Jesus healing the man who could not walk, they marveled and glorified God who had given such power to men that God could do a miracle like this. So all the glory and the praise belong to the Father. Healing is a wonderful, awe-inspiring, faith builder, should always lead us to the glorification of God, to give God glory in every case. Number four, miracles fulfill God's promises. They absolutely fulfill what God promised. At Capernaum, it says, Matthew 8, then Jesus said to the centurion, go your way, and as you have believed, so let it be done for you. And his servant was healed the very same hour. Now, that's an amazing statement. And you look through this statement, and you watch, bam, 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 miracle after miracle of Jesus as he's ministering and he's moving toward his goal and that purpose. There's a centurion, here's a Roman, and he's got a servant that's dying, and Jesus immediately blesses him because this guy's faith touches the heart of the Lord, and immediately his servant is healed. Now, when Jesus had come into Peter's house, he's on a journey in Capernaum, he saw Peter's wife's mother lying sick with a fever. So he touched her hand, and her fever left her. Do that with your children when they're sick. Just take them and believe the Lord and agree. Amen? Yeah. Touched her hand, and her fever left her. And she arose and served them. So she got right out of bed and went to work doing what she needed to do to make sure that their meal was taken care of. And when evening had come, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed, and he cast out the spirits with a word. I would have loved to watch him clean house that night. Amen? They finished their meal, and the people from the surrounding community start bringing the demon-possessed into the place where Jesus was. And it says, he cast out the spirits with the word. In other words, he just said, you know what? You're not going to remain here. Let's go. You're out of here. And then he healed all who were sick. Notice he cleanses the atmosphere of the demonic, then he heals the sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, who said, "He himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses." So when the master heals, it's a fulfillment of the prophecies spoken through the prophet Isaiah. On the cross, Jesus took our sicknesses and infirmities. When he was beaten, he was bringing to all of us healing. Number five, healings confirm God's own word. Healing was promised by the Father and then declared by Jesus the Son when he said in John 10, "If I do not do the works of my Father, do not believe me. But if I do, though you do not believe me, believe the works, that you may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him." Watch what I'm going to do. If you can't get past what I'm saying and who I am and what I look like, just watch what I'm doing. You'll know the Father's in me, right? They confirm God's own word. Christ knew exactly why he was sent to earth. He knew exactly what it meant that first Christmas night. He knew exactly what it meant when angels filled the skies and began to give glory to God in the highest and began to talk about peace on earth and goodwill toward men. Listen, he understood exactly why he was sent. He came to perform the works of the Father. He came to say, "This is what my Father's will is for the human race." Miracles confirmed the spoken word of Jesus. He heals to fulfill his personal word to you. Number six, miraculous healings display the power of Jesus' blood. The blood of Jesus was shed to forgive sin and to provide healing, because when he was beaten, severely whipped, and to the point where flesh was wide open on his back and blood was pouring from him, as well as the blood that dripped from the wounds in his hands and his feet and his head, and eventually his side, that blood of Jesus was shed not only to forgive our sins, but to heal our bodies. This is in Ephesians, "But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near." How? By the what? Blood of Christ. The word continues in Ephesians 1, and it says, "In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace." Jesus himself said in Luke 10, "Nothing shall by any means hurt you." And because of the power in Jesus' blood, we get to triumph in every area of our lives. Revelation 12 says, "And they overcame him," that's Satan, "by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony." Now watch, "and they did not love their lives to the death." They were willing to live dead, serving the Lord. Now, believers who depend upon the blood of Jesus Christ can see miracle healings as great evidences of Jesus' power in our lives today. Number seven, miracles demonstrate that the devil was defeated at the cross. The word tells us in 1 John, "He who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil." At the house of Cornelius, when God was opening the gospel to the Gentile world, when Peter makes a journey, because it was very difficult for this religious Jew who'd been brought up in Judaism among Israelis to now go and present a message of God to a people of heathen culture, but not knowing until it was revealed to him that this heathen guy, this Roman, this powerful person in the Roman Empire, had been praying and giving and doing what he could to get God's attention, and got God's attention, and God sends Peter to his house. At the house of Cornelius, Peter says that that word you know, which was proclaimed throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. So Peter's given him a little history. John the Baptist preceded him, and then out of that ministry of John the Baptist the forerunner, comes the ministry of Jesus throughout all of Judea, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And as at Calvary, when any miracle occurs, the enemy's lies destroyed once again. He takes what the enemy has done and dashes it every single time he performs a miracle, answers a prayer. Can you trust God for a healing miracle no matter what you're facing tonight? God wants you to live in divine health. Does anybody believe that? He wants you to understand more about his great love for you. He loves pouring his mercy and his love and grace on us. And the God who has healed others is the same God who desires to heal you. Will you accept that tonight? You claim God's miracle in your life tonight. His word was written for you. So Isaiah, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And by his stripes, we are healed. That's God's word to you. Now, are you going to receive it with faith? It's being preached. Who's receiving it with faith tonight? Anybody receiving it with faith? I believe it. Amen? I heard of an individual a number of years ago traveling through Europe on business, purchased a relatively inexpensive amber necklace in a trinket shop to bring home to his wife when he's coming back from his journey abroad. When he returned to the States, he got a little bit curious to know the value of the necklace and wondered what this thing's really worth here. So he took it to a reputable jewelry store for appraisal because it was not expensive where he bought it in Europe. And while looking at the piece under magnification, the appraiser told him, "I'll give you $50,000 for it right now." Can you imagine? The man was shocked. Questioning the first appraisal, he said, "Thank you, but no, I'm not going to do that." And he took another expert, and he took a look at it, and he offered an additional $10,000 above the $50,000 for this necklace. He was totally astonished. And he said, "Why in the world will you appraise it at such a high number? What do you see that's so valuable in this amber necklace?" "Well, come here and take a look through the glass." And so he put the magnification device up to his eye, and right there before his eyes was the inscription on this necklace: "To Josephine from Napoleon." The value of the necklace came from its identification with one of the most famous individuals in history. What about you? I trust you realize that when you came to Jesus, you are identified with one who is far more valuable than anything that we can put a number on. Even more, the same God who created you in his image and likeness considers that you are of such incredible worth that he sent his only son to pay the ultimate price for your eternal redemption. Paul put it so succinctly, 1 Corinthians, "For you were bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." Is that too much to ask for all that God has done for us? Now watch this. Here you see and understand Psalm 103, "He forgives all our iniquities. He heals all of our diseases." The twin blessings which are inseparable in the gospel message. We are healed inwardly. Our sins are forgiven by Jesus' shed blood. He washes us clean. "Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow." Thank the Lord. Amen? Amen? Thank you, Lord. We are healed inwardly. Sins forgiven by his shed blood. We are healed outwardly by Jesus' stripes. By his stripes we are healed. So here is the absolute verification the signature on the document that ensures that this contract is in effect. And the story in Mark chapter 2 and other gospels as well. When Jesus returned to Capernaum several days later, the news spread quickly that he was back home. And soon the house where he was staying was so packed with visitors that there was no more room even outside the door. So there were inside and outside. And while he was preaching God's word to them, four men arrived carrying a paralyzed man on a mat. Four people cared about someone who had no ability to get to where Jesus was and said, "We'll take you to him." So they took him to the door, to the windows. They couldn't bring him to Jesus because of the crowd. So they got very innovative and determined and made their way up to the roof. And generally there was a set of steps going up the sides of those buildings to a very flat roof. And it says they dug a hole through the roof above his head. You got to give it to these four guys. I'd like to meet these four because they've got faith, man. They've got it. They are determined. Nothing's going to stop them. They don't care. They're not looking for any excuse to, "Well, we can't get in, so let's just leave. You know, they didn't save us a seat, so we're not going to be able to, let's just go home." So, no, they dug a hole through the roof above his head. Then they lowered the man on his mat right down in front of Jesus. So, no doubt, Jesus is listening to the noise, the tiles getting ripped and hole getting dug. And then it had to be a fairly good size hole because this guy, listen, he can't maneuver on the mat. He has no ability. He's paralyzed. So however long this guy is, that's the size, pretty close to the size of the hole they had to dig in there to get this guy through that roof. And they lower him down and put him right in front of Jesus. And seeing their faith, not hearing yakety yak, seeing their faith, Jesus said to the paralyzed man, "My child, your sins are forgiven." But some of the teachers of religious law who were sitting there thought to themselves, "What is he saying? This is blasphemy. Only God can forgive sins." Jesus knew immediately what they were thinking. So I love the way he turns the tables on all of us this way. "Why do you question this in your hearts? Is it easier to say to the paralyzed man, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or 'Stand up, pick up your mat, and walk'? So I will prove to you that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." Then Jesus turned to the paralyzed man and said, "Stand up, pick up your mat, and go home." And the man jumped up, grabbed his mat, walked out through the stunned outlookers. They were all amazed and praised God, exclaiming, "We've never seen anything like this before." Hallelujah. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. And the same Jesus is just simply waiting to see your faith. That's all he's waiting to see. To see your determined faith. No matter what, Lord, whatever it takes, I'm going to get to you. Because if I get to you, it's like the little woman who was bleeding out, who said, "If I can just touch the hem of his garment." She didn't have to say a word. She just touched him. When I see your faith, he's just waiting to hear, not only to see your faith, but then hear your thanksgiving and your worship and your celebration for who he is and what he does. He's waiting to hear you say, "Thank you, Lord, because you're my healer. You said, 'I am the God who heals you. Lord, you are my healer.'" Does God still perform healing miracles today? My answer in one word is simple: yes. God's word is filled with promises that are related to health and healing for his children. God is and always has been the healer. It is His will for His people to live in divine health. And what you will discover about His love for you throughout Scripture should change the direction of our lives forever when you discover how great is His love for us. So Calvary Christian Center, lift your hands, give thanks, bless the Lord with all that is within you. Because of Calvary, you are forgiven and you are healed. And this church ought to be celebrating our forgiveness and our healing. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Come on, people. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Love you, Lord. How great you are. I love you, Master. I'm thankful. I'm grateful. How many here want to be under the cover of divine health tonight? Amen? Yes. Thank you, Jesus. Let Him see your faith. There has to be action. It always amazes me when people are complaining that they're not well and they're sick. And you never see them take a step to the altar. They never show God their faith and say, "Here I come, Lord. I'm humble before You," like the leper, and just fall at His feet and say, "Lord, if You will, heal me." And I love the Master's response to that humility and that worship. "I will. I will be cleansed. Be whole." Thank You, Lord. He cleanses that way. He heals that way. Those words are interchangeable because they are the twins of the gospel. Sometimes we only preach a half gospel, and that is salvation. The other half of the gospel, He's the healer. You see, when I am saved or born again or cleansed, there's healing that's happening to my broken soul. And He heals my sick body too. So, you see, the interchangeable, and Jesus in that moment with the paralyzed man dropped through the roof. Can you see the moment? Tiles are flying everywhere. The crowd is stunned. And here comes this guy down on ropes. They lower the mat. And Jesus made no distinction between healing this man and forgiving his sins. "Your sins are forgiven you. Get up. Roll up your mat. Walk. You're healed." It's amazing. That's the greatness of the love of God.